What's up?
It's Dwight.
And you tuned into another episode of One Mic with Dwight. And thank you for sharing this moment with me. This is probably one of the most unpromoted, inconsistent podcasts out there today. But I guarantee you, it's not the most suckiest. I've seen some and listened to some that are well promoted, far more superior than mine. And they are garbage. So, coming up, I have something that's been on my mind that literally keeps me up at night. I'm not political, really, but I do have principles and values that I want to share. I have something that's been on my mind about my past that I want to talk about. What else we got here? Oh, we just got some stuff lined up, so let's just get right into it. The question that's been on my mind, it's from a religious standpoint, but I want you to get the quagmire that is literally keeping me up and waking me up at night. So you have God and you have the devil. And the theory is, I suppose, and I don't want to put my ideas or my beliefs in your head or anything, but let's just think about this for a second. If you have God and you have the devil, and you're supposed to love God and you hate the devil, God is love. So the more that you love God, the more that you are feeding God, the more that God loves you, you feel the essence of God. To hate the devil, would that not be the same? The devil wants you to hate. The more that you do hate, the more that you feed the devil. You can't serve two masters. And the answer, I don't think it would be to love the devil, because why would you love pure evil? So, in essence, I thought that energetically wise, or if that's a word, fuck, I don't know. But if you're speaking on energy, I used to think that love and hate were the same energy, but on different sides of the spectrum. However, the way that I feel about love is that love is something that's within me that I give to others. So even if I say that I love you, you don't have to believe me until I show it to you, until I do the things that causes me to love you, which would be, I don't know, adding value to your life. Hate is something external that has happened to me as a reaction of an emotion. So going into my beliefs is that, you know, I don't hate. And so I don't think of hate as being within me. I don't believe in an inherent evil either. So therefore, I don't believe in the devil. So that's where my question lies for those that do. So it's just kind of like, if you think about darkness, I don't think about darkness as being black. I think of darkness as being the absence of light. I don't think of hate as being the opposite of love. I just think it's the absence of God. So whenever I was going through what I was going through, my relationship with God was further away. It wasn't the devil that was causing me to do the drugs, to sleep with all the women, to drink, and to end up in jail in the hospital. It was the absence of God. The more I got to know myself, the more I got to know the God of my understanding, and therefore my life got better. So that's how it works for me. But for those that actually believe in the devil, they actually think that, how are you supposed to deal with the devil then? That is my question. How do you deal with the devil if something is pure evil, and to hate it would actually be to feed it? So That's something that has kept me up. It wakes me up in the middle of the night because I'm trying to figure out. And I've asked a couple of people to respond. And if you want, I can be reached at the number one, MICDWIGHT. Tell me how you deal with the devil. I'm not on any Instagram, Twitter, Threads, X, Facebook, anything like that. So, going on to the next thing, another thing that's been on my mind for many, many months now. I believe that life is lived moving forward and understood looking back. And about 15 years ago, I had a friend of mine who ended up marrying this woman. And the three of us had this relationship of friendship, of kindness. And it was completely non-sexual, but both of them knew me and the women that I ran through. They both watched that. I told stories about it. I shared with them my conquests. And, you know, they were entertained. I mean, that's what I was doing, you know. And so the wife would every once in a while flirt with me. And, you know, I was like, yo, you know, you stepping into the wolf's den. So you need to be careful. And of course, as their relationship began to dissolve and everything, me and the wife, we got closer and closer. And so, of course, you know what happens. So I remember we were out, me and her, and she was telling me, she was like, yeah, Dwight, you know, we're going to do this, but I want to get a divorce first. I don't want to do this while I'm married. And two things came up, you know, for me. And this is how I feel about relationships in general, is that as soon as she said that she wanted to be with me and do this, that to me is cheating. You're, even though we're not physically doing it, mentally you're already there. So I really felt like the deed was already done. And that's the way that I feel if I was in a relationship. You know, if I was in a relationship with a female and my partner was talking about, you know, thinking about another guy and all this other stuff, if he had her heart, her emotions, and, you know, and all that stuff, then I feel like that she's already physically there. Matter of fact, I don't need the physical for someone to have my partner's mental and her emotions. So now, with that being said, if we're in a relationship and say we do X, you know, we do X and we have a great time and, you know, all this other stuff. Well, if we're together and we both agree on some type of sexual deviance of, you know, talking about being with somebody, and we're together in on that, and that gets her emotions and her juices flowing. Well, once again, that's not cheating. You understand what I'm saying? It's just kind of like, you know, we both agreed upon that. But if she needs to think about somebody, if she needs a drug in order to feel fulfillment being with me, then that would be cheating. If it's something that we both agree to, that we both talked about, then it's not. So there's the difference in between that. This is something that he definitely didn't agree to. And so therefore, she was already done. Like I said, their relationship was dissolving anyway. I am just the living, breathing dildo. So I'm there to fuck. Anyways, the fact that she told me this made it a challenge. So therefore, I was trying to fuck her before she got a divorce, and which I did. And it was just about the challenge. It had nothing to do with her. It had nothing to do with my emotions. It had nothing to do with my relationship with the guy. the thing I do feel bad about is that he texted me and he asked me if I was with her, and I told him no. And I pretty much promised that was something I was going to take to the grave until now, because of course it's eating me up. I've tried to reach out to him so we could sit down and have this conversation. It may be too late, but it is something that's been on my mind, and I've been doing inventory, and I would love to reach out to him and make amends. So that's why I'm putting it out there, in order to say, now, you know, there's more details into it and everything like that, but I'm just giving you guys the gist of it, because for the simple fact that, you know, it's just, I have been on these principles and values now of a higher standard. And it's not to say that I forgot who I was. It's because of who I was is why I do have these higher values and standards, because I don't want to go back to that anymore. So I did live a life of debauchery and sluttiness, and it's something I'm not proud of. And so now when I think about the partner that I'm supposed to have in my life, it's not the specifics of who she is as a person, but the mindset that she will have. And that's what I really enjoy trying to propose, and also put myself in the position to attract someone like that. So that's just kind of the thing that, you know, what I'm sharing with you guys is new news to you, which actually kind of contradicts who I am as a person now. So the way that we think is kind of on a linear thing. So think about that. When someone is a certain way on social media now, and then someone digs up their past and they try to correlate it like, well, you wouldn't say that 10 years ago. Well, obviously not, because they have evolved as a person, and the times were different and the things were acceptable that was being said then. So just because you're hearing about it now doesn't mean that you can compare the two. As a matter of fact, if you compare it, you can look and see how far they came as a person during those times and the growth that they shared. So when people cancel somebody for something that they did in the past, it's based on today's standards, which is wrong. However, the reason I say it's wrong is because how can you live your life like that? Because if you were the same person that you were 10 years ago, how much have you evolved and grew as a person? So as much as people say that they think about change and they accept change and they talk all this shit about change is growth, think about your job and how they implement a new policy. You have people who you work with that are there, and they spend so much time and energy talking about how that new policy or that new procedure isn't going to work, when they could use that time and energy and their experience in order to help the policy foster. Not too many people do that at the job. They just sit there and they pick apart what the manager's trying to implement and talk about how it's not going to work. And it just kind of drags everything else down, because the change is coming anyway. You know, it's coming anyway. And yet people want to sit here and pick it apart and talk about how things used to be and how managers, oh, well, the old manager used to do it like this. And you know what? Here's the thing. They used to pick apart and fight that manager too until they left. And now that they're gone, they talk about how great they were, or they talk about, you know, just whatever, just living in the past and nothing's changed. They don't have a growth mindset at all. And those are the people that sit here and think that they're real. They say that they are who they are, and yet they haven't grown as a person. So, you know, when people think that change is good and everything, what, you know, what are they contributing to that change? So, you know, that's just some other things that I have going on as far as like what's on my mind. So they'll always sit here and say how generations are different, you know, people who generalize and who thinks things are just, you know, black and white and simple as that. I understand trying to simplify stuff, but I think about things being this adaptability in order to, you know, you don't, your life isn't black and white. So where's the black and white come from? Where are those standards coming from? You know? So if you have this, like I said, you know, when you think about good and evil, you know, and you're supposed to love good and hate evil, well, you know, you're feeding that evil, which is actually helping it grow too. You can only have one master. So I say all that because, oh, now getting somewhat political at this point, I remember, you know, during the 90s, the Palestine and the Gaza Strip and you know, Hamas and Israel and all this other stuff that was going on. And then I also remember when Trump came into office and he acknowledged Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And, you know, he made these stance and everything and, you know, putting in the embassy and just all this other things that started happening. And my only thing about this is when they say we, when they say America, when they use us all as a collective, you know, that's where I feel like I'm just like, excuse me, you know, I mean, what the fuck? And then there's apparently some Black Lives Matter in Chicago that talked about, well, we stand with Palestine. And once again, I'm sitting here like, excuse me. You know, I mean, we you know, like I said, this ain't France. Why was this we shit? We, you know, I mean, I think that some of these things, you know, people need to speak as an individual. And I know when you're the president, you know, you do speak for America. But it just has to be known that it's not 100%. Once again, it can't be this black and white shit because where I stand on all of this is that we have over $100 billion going to Ukraine-Russia war. You know, we move ships and we move into the Mediterranean Sea to watch what's going on with Israel and Palestine and everything. And so what I'm saying is I see all this money, but then I see Native American reservations and that looks like a third world country. You know, I see Maui still trying to rebuild. I see Puerto Rico even that hasn't, you know, they haven't rebuilt completely through the hurricane. And so all these US territories, I see a crumbling infrastructure. So it just blows my mind whenever I think about the money that was spent on Afghanistan, a 22-year war, and the billions that have gone to Ukraine, and what we're getting ready to do with Israel and Palestine, and yet, you know, we have uneducation in America. We have, you know, all these, man, we would have fucking flying cars by now if the money that was spent, we would have enough money spent for free education, free healthcare, a bullet train that could go from New York to fucking Miami to fucking, you know, LA and then back to New York. We could have all of that for all this money that's being spent on talking about we shit. You know, we could have a wall, all the stuff that Republicans and Democrats have been fighting over. We could have it all. Everybody could be satisfied in America for the money that we had spent on Afghanistan, Ukraine, and now Israel, Palestine. The lives that could have been spared. So we would have been able to take care of our elders. Meanwhile, China's just sitting in the back chilling, just watching. This game of life is being chess, and we're making these crazy irrational moves based on emotions and feelings. We need to sit back and think about this, y'all. As Americans, if this is the country that, you know, we're supposed to love and live in, we need to think about this before we start making all these damn moves. We got to act now. No, we the fuck we don't. We need to talk about this. You know, that's why, you know, we got the House Speaker getting kicked out. That's why we got all this confusion, is we got all this division. You know, there are answers. But once again, we want to love God and hate the devil. And the devil is whoever that doesn't agree with us as a collective. You know? And so we're feeding both of them. And that's why it's tearing this place apart. That's why this place is so rich and so poor at the same time. And that's my political stance on that. You know, I mean, you know, should we back up Israel? Should we, you know, do all this shit? No. We need to take care of America. And that's the way that I feel about myself. That's the way I feel about myself. I have all this stuff in America that's going on, but I need to take care of me, because a better me does make everything else better. It makes me a better coworker. It makes me a better father. It makes me a better son. So if I'm fucked up and I'm over here trying to, you know, fix everybody else's problem, what am I really doing? I'm stumbling over shit. I'm messing up. I'm in the way. I'm not understanding anything. So we need to fix us before we go out there and start fixing other people's shit. And that's what a lot of people are doing. They're all fucked up on the inside, but they're out here giving advice. How well does that do? You don't even practice what you preach. So that's what we need to do. That's my opinion, and that's where I stand on that. Oh, well, we need to go out here. No, we don't. We need to be a better American, taking care of America, taking care of U.S. territories. So, you know, like I said, that's my political stance on that. I don't get that deep into it. But with that being said, I am starting to lean towards the Republican principles and values. I know that might put off a lot of people, you know, but and it might make a lot of people happy. But it's just where I stand personally in my life and how I govern it. Now, what I do, what I believe, I don't think that it should be forced upon anybody. But I also think that my principles and beliefs need to be acknowledged. And when I say they need to be acknowledged, it happens in my vote. And so my vote leans towards more Republican principles and values. So it's just kind of like, for example, as far as abortion goes, I do believe that it's a woman's body and her choice. But I also believe that my woman and my partnership with my woman, I would be with a woman who wouldn't have an abortion if I wanted a family. So just going by my principles and values, I don't think abortion is right in my household. In my household, I'm not getting gay married. You know, I mean, I'm not sitting here saying that gay marriage should be banned or anything like that. But I also, you know, it's just, I'm not going to do it. And that's just in my house. I'm sharing this with you guys, you know, as far as like what I'm voting for. And that's just kind of just basically how I live my life. So it's not like I would disagree with you if you thought that, you know, well, I think gay marriage is something that everybody should be. Well, okay. You know, I don't want to be around people that agree with me, but we're not going to have an argument on who's right either. I believe that, you know, I am a homeowner. I pay my taxes and I do live in a shitty neighborhood. And so I would love to have a gun to protect my home. You know, and I'm not sitting here saying that I need an AR-15 or an AK. Or DACA, you know, I'm not saying that. But I'll tell you what, after watching what Hamas did, you know, to Israel, bro, you probably would need one of them things. You know? So let's see, what else? You know, I would like, you know, as far as like religion in school goes, you know, I would rather, once again, my opinion and where I would send my kid would be towards religion in schools versus expressing sexuality and stuff like that. So I think that it needs to be acknowledged. I think that, you know, if there is a discussion, you know, it should be shared with teacher and parent, with adults, and the content that is being a part of the curriculum. So, I think that you know, the discussion of God in school, you know, you talk about separation of church and state, and I'm just kind of like, on what grounds is that? You know, because, you know, we have cops driving around with "In God We Trust" on their car, right? We have, we talk about God on the dollar bill, you know? So anyways, I do, you know, I think that, you know, religion should be talked about, you know, just for someone to have something to stand on as far as principles. I think that, I don't know. I mean, you know, once again, maybe it's for me, and I know it's not fair, but not everything should be, as far as like when you talk about equal, you know, once again, this is something that I'm going through in the world that I'm trying to navigate through. But a lot of times the opposition is the way. Back when in the 60s, you know, when they talked about interracial marriage and that was banned and everything, if a white man married a black woman, he truly loved her. And I feel that way, you know, if a white woman married a black man, hell, she gave up her family. So, you know, whenever they had those times, you know, they truly loved each other and they were going to be together, damn it. Whereas now, you know, like you know, 50% of marriages end in divorce. And so, you know, people, you know, to actually even marry just for love, based on love, that's crazy to me, because it's an emotion. And just because I feel about you this day doesn't mean that I feel about you that way forever. You know, it takes way more than love to be with somebody. So, you know, that's why it's just so such a difficult thing to deal with. So if you were banned from loving someone and you got with them, you truly loved them and you were going to truly be with them despite that. And maybe because being heterosexual is the default, it's a lot easier for me. Maybe because being white is the default, it's a lot difficult for me. Maybe because being college educated is the default, it's a lot difficult for me. I'm not keeping score, you know? I'm not sitting here saying that these are pluses or minuses in my life. They're all, everything that I am is an advantage. That's the way I see it. If I was 5'7", that would be my advantage. If I'm 6'2", that's my fucking advantage. You know, just being in shape, that's my advantage. The books that I read, that's my advantage. That's the other thing too. You know, a lot of stuff that I got going on now, you know, is just as far as being, going into October, signed up for salsa classes. Going to learn salsa dancing. I've been doing Spanish on Duolingo for almost 2 years straight. I've been doing it for a while, but I've been taking it serious for about 2 years straight. And I'm not fluent in Spanish because I'm not immersed in the culture. So I figured if I take salsa lessons, it's a 6-week course. And if I enjoy it and if my ankle can hold out, then I will take another 6 weeks and do the advanced salsa classes. And so then that'll be 12 weeks continuing Spanish, hoping that, you know, the economy can hold and that the U.S. dollar will still be worth something in 2024. Maybe I'll look into going to the Dominican Republic and just immersing myself in the culture, and we'll just see how it goes from there. Maybe meet my wife, bring her back. I don't know. Well, that's kind of the plan. You know, that's kind of what's in the cards for me. So we'll see how that goes. Not sure, though. I mean, you know, just kind of going with that. Not trying to get too far advanced into it. What else do I have going on? Today is Sunday. Every Monday, I do charity work at the Harmony House. I'm back in the kitchen cooking. I love that. It's for a great cause. If you don't know the Harmony House, look it up. Just Google harmonyhouse.com, donate, and donate your time, donate money, just whatever you can give to Harmony House. I do that just for dinners. You know, I just go in there and do dinners every Monday. And that's just a great feeling of purpose. Like I said, my ankle is a lot of fluid in it. It's not broken. It's not sprained or anything. But I'm going to start doing physical therapy just to eliminate what's going on with it. And so we'll see where that goes. And then I got overtime at work. And that's on top of everything else. Being a bachelor and a homeowner, I got to do my yard work. I got to do my housework. I do all the cooking and cleaning. And, you know, I have a dog, so he's well taken care of. However, all of this stuff creates a balance and it feeds each other. So it's not like I have this task. They're not tasks. They're things that actually make me who I am. And it's not busy work. It's progression. So it goes back to this relentless pursuit of excellence. One creates value as far as in my spirituality. What creates value on top of my physical? And then I have the mental. And so whenever the spiritual, the physical, the financial, which is the overtime at work that I'm picking up on, and the mental are all together, my emotions are lined up. And what I'm learning is that when I'm lacking on one thing, I use the other three to compensate in order to fix it. So what I'm saying is like when, and this is once again what works for me, you know? So say, for example, I am financially struggling. Well, what most people would do is they'd go get a second job and, you know, then they would end up burnt out and stressing themselves. When I am lacking in my finances, then I actually turn to my mental, my spiritual, and my physical, and that actually fixes my financial. And if I'm lacking in my physical, I turn to my spiritual, my mental, spiritual, and financial to take care of the physical. So the example of that is say, for example, my finances are down. Well, working on my mental, that helps me figure out ways to, you know, it makes me think, do I really need to buy this? You know, where can I save money at? You know, just ways to work around my financial situation. My physical, well, am I spending money on eating shitty food? Yes. You know, can I cook more often at home? Yes. You know, working out. You know, that I never cut, you know, corners on that. You know, matter of fact, running to work and running to the gym, I save money on gas. And then spiritual, you know, that actually gets me out of my own head as far as my financial situations are concerned. So I deal with that. And that actually helps my financial. Money comes my way from that point. And so if my physical is down, well, I need to spend more money on eating better foods. And I need to, you know, hire a fitness coach. And so I use my financials for my physical and then my mental. Once again, I'm thinking about, well, where can I put this money towards in order to get the good coach, in order to go, you know, I'm educating myself on my physical situation. It could be an emotional thing. I don't know. And so then I check my spiritual. You know, I pray, I look for opportunities. All this stuff actually helps my physical. So once again, you know, when somebody's down on their physical, then they hit their physical and then they wonder why they get burnt out. That's what happened to me. When my financials are down, my finances is down, then I go out there, I work another job, I get burnt out. All the money that I stacked in order to get that job and everything like that, I took it out on other releases and I end up broke anyway. Broke and burnt out. So when I attack something directly, that's the problem. Then that's how I end up getting in the situation that actually gets me out of it. So I work on the other three pillars and everything like that. The reason why I can do all this stuff, the reason why my life is so dope and I'm 100% responsible for is because my love life is zero. And it's not something that I'm trying to do. It's not something that, you know, that makes me fulfilled. I'm not saying I'm not the red pill person or anything like that. I'm saying that because the standard that I have for the partner that I want in my life, that's what I'm doing in order to attract that type of person. So, you know, what I want in my partner is a mindset, not necessarily the physical attributes, not necessarily the appearance. So I won't know what she looks like, but I will know it when I see her. Because she's going to be where I am in life. Or at least have the potential and the willingness to understand. And, you know, she, once again, you know, she's going to be a whole person. I'm going to be a whole person. And then we're going to be a completely new entity together. Something that I've never experienced before. It's just kind of like I was telling my homeboy. Jordan was a dope basketball player. He was dope. But he couldn't do it without Phil. So would he have been the GOAT without Phil Jackson? We don't know. It doesn't matter. Kobe Bryant was a dope basketball player. Could he have won without Shaq and without Phil? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So he needed Shaq, you know, at one point in time. Then him and Shaq left. He needed Phil. He needed Phil. So to be fulfilled. So anyways, that's how I feel about it. I feel like I'm the Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant of my house. And in order for me to get the rings, I need that Phil Jackson of a person in my life to put all my stuff together to let me know. And saying that out loud actually gives me hope and makes me feel better because that's what I need. To know that, to know where I am in my life. So anyways, I just want to give a shout out to everybody out there that's been listening. Like I said, this is the most inconsistent, non-promoted podcast out. And you tune in whenever you get a notification. You follow me. And I am going to try to get on YouTube one of these days. I look so beautiful right now. So, you know, I got to put a face with the voice and everything. And thank you for just all the love and support. And basically, I'm talking to probably three people, one of them including my mom. Love you, Mom. And let's see here. If there's anything else that you think I should share or you want to make a comment on, You can reach me email, the number one, MICDWIGHT. And I'm out. Out. Oh, yeah. One last thing. DJ Imperial, man. I need a new intro. Outro. I need some new music, man. There's so many things about one mic that needs to grow. So I'm out. Peace. Yeah, yeah. Oh, na, na, na. Yeah, yeah, yeah.